Christ and the Law, Ellen G. White. Concluded. Adam lost Eden and was cut off from access to the Tree of Life because of his disobedience. This every intelligent human being can know if he will. Lest sin, the transgression of the law of God, should become immortalized, man was separated from the Tree of Life for Adam's supposed small transgression, and the floodgates of woe were opened upon our world. Read these words of Christ, for they plainly show the whole human family what they must do to regain access to the life-giving tree. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 14, 16, 17. There is suspended over the transgressor the sweeping sentence of utter condemnation. The clouds of God's wrath are collected over all who break, and teach others to break, the supposed least of God's commandments. For in thus doing, they are cooperating with the first great deceiver. He tempted Adam to disregard the words of God and to believe instead his own falsehoods. He is now, with all subtlety, teaching the same, and it is a painful thought that some who claim to be ministers of the word should cooperate with the enemy of God and voice his deceiving falsehoods. God's word has opened before us the danger to every human being who shall turn from the plain words of Jesus Christ and take up with words that come from human lips to make void the words of God in his holy commandments. The testimony of Calvary. The cross of Calvary testifies to the immutability of the law of God. That law is a transcript of God's character, the standard of character for all human intelligences. It could not be changed. Not one precept of it could be altered to meet man in his fallen condition. But our God, having committed himself to the amazing work of our redemption in giving his only begotten Son, resolved that he would spare nothing, however costly, that was essential in saving the soul of the sinner. All the resources of heaven were given to accomplish this great work. He would not have it said by worlds unfallen, by the universe of heaven, by Satan's kingdom, by an apostate world, that his gift could have a rival, or in any way have been greater. The great love of God. Having given Jesus the great gift, God gave all heaven with him. He would bless immeasurably the great groundwork of the redemption of a lost world. He would surround the world with favors. He would heap gift on gift, and he opens for all who, through faith in Christ, will receive his gift, the treasures of eternal life. He established his throne on earth by the Holy Spirit's power to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that Christ, through his Holy Spirit, might live in all the powers of the soul, sending through it a perpetual current of joy and blessedness in obedience to all of God's commandments. These commandments are given to counterwork the working of Satan, who impels the human family to disobedience of God's plainly expressed will. Oh, what a God of love! What a Father we have, who in Christ gave himself for a perishing world! The Lord God can never surpass this exhibition of his love. Never can there be a richer display of his grace, his love, to a world fallen. The cross of Calvary has rolled away the thick darkness from before the throne of God and revealed an eternal weight of glory. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Love shown by obedience. This love of God is demonstrated by all who keep his commandments. If ye love me, says Christ, keep my commandments. John says, He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. 1 John 2, verse 4-6. There is not the smallest chance to doubt as to the commandments to which the apostle here refers. Again he says, Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, thus said the Jewish church, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Verses 7-10. Honoring God through obedience. Shall we honor God by accepting the truth as it is in Christ? The word of the Lord is, Them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. But many cry, Away with the commandments of God! Crucify that law! Just as the Jews cried, Away with Christ! Crucify him! Crucify him! Because that law condemns their iniquities and all crooked practices. The words that I speak unto you, said Christ, they are spirit and they are life. The truth enshrined in the heart becomes a vitalizing power, and we cannot be too urgent in impressing this thought upon human minds. There is absolutely no panoply but truth. The only dishonor we should fear is rebellion against God. Let us make sure that we are working on Christ's side and cling closely to the Bible, for it alone will ennoble and purify. And when we are like-minded with our God, we shall be strong in His strength. Let us follow the example given us when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.